My name is Roy Peretz, and along with my husband, Ron Thurston, we are here to share our stories of learning to let go. After almost two decades of living in the Big Apple, we packed our belongings and traveled in an Airstream to discover this beautiful country. In the 16 months of our travel, we saw the most captivating nature, and as we met people in communities along the road, we learned that at our core, we're more alike than we're unalike. Drop the Coconut is about letting go of what is holding you back. It is the story of a little monkey who reaches out its palm to grab a coconut buried deep in the ground. Once he grabs it, his palm is too large to slide out of the hole, and out of greed, he becomes an easy target for his capturer, simply because he wouldn't let go. All I want to tell that little guy is, drop the coconut, you can be free. From our home in Miami, where we are planning our next adventure, we are recording this podcast to share the stories of all the coconuts we had to let go of, and about some new ones that dropped in our lap. We hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you for jumping on our coconut wagon today. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Roy.
It is a beautiful Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Every day here feels like the weekend, but we are accepting it as it comes, right?
Right.
And this week we're going to Orlando for 5 days. We're going to be in Disney World.
Disney World. Here we come. Mickey World.
Yeah, for your birthday.
For my birthday.
It's a big 60.
60 years old this week.
When we talked about the 60th birthday for the past few years, I kept thinking we're going to have this big party, you're going to have all your friends come from all over the country, and it's going to be a fabulous long table as the Ronald loves. But in the past few months, I realized that you kind of want to scale back from that.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Nothing happened other than the recognition that we're both really busy, we're both working really hard. I'm traveling a lot for speaking engagements, and the idea of the workload of planning a big party just seemed like a lot. And I wanted to do something that we remember for a long time that wasn't just dinner.
Yeah.
That by creating memories, I love to do that with friends and family, but I think going somewhere where you and I have never been and just have fun and scream and ride roller coasters and just act like a kid.
Yeah.
Seems like a great way to spend my 60th with you.
I can't wait.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have more insights next week. As I was listening to the episode that we recorded last week, we got a lot of feedback from friends and people that we don't know. Around most of it was around actually our communication and communication style. And I kept going back to all the times where we had to make big changes in our lives. And in the 10 years that we are together, we changed jobs. Mm-hmm. And every time we change jobs seems so dramatic and big and a big move.
It is, though, in many ways.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, it's just that at the moment, I mean, today, if you ask me, it looks like nothing has happened.
I know, but at the time, they're all big decisions.
Right, big decisions. And then the pandemic came. We worked from home, a small apartment like many other people in New York. Mm-hmm. Went through that, decided to leave everything, went on our famous trip, have been together in that trip for 16 months, and then moving to Miami. Now we are thinking again, where are we going? And I feel like we've made a lot of moves because we were able to align together, to sync and make a decision of what would be the next step. Mm-hmm. I don't think we always knew how it's going to happen, how it's going to pan out, mm-hmm. but we knew to set the goal and we knew that we're going to achieve it. Mm-hmm. The how always changed. We were flexible enough to change the way that we are going to get there.
Right.
Do you feel that as well?
I do feel that. You know, I would say we became we didn't become really good renegotiators and being able to forgive ourselves around making big statements and then saying, you know what, maybe that's not the big statement. Maybe we're going to then take a different road. And that for me for a long time would have been really hard to do.
Yeah.
But I do think having the ability to renegotiate and say, well, if that evolves, then what's the outcome? What's the consequence? Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? And we've done that together. Certainly not always easy, but the idea of finding new journeys and new discoveries and new ways of living, working, creating, that's right, for just us. This is not about saying that this works for anyone except us.
Yeah.
Is something that at this stage in my life, at 60 years old, feels really good.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. And I know we thought about it at some point and we talked about it, that maybe it is because you have a lot of experience that, and you have done things and you've been through things, that it's easier to do these changes today. But maybe it's also because you've done all these things, you know that there is no really predictability in what's going to happen. All you can do is put your best foot forward,
yeah,
and have good intentions, or have the best intentions that you think that you can put out there, and let the universe, we call it the universe, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Let the universe help you get to wherever you want to get.
Right, right.
I think that we often got it from people who are friends of ours, family members, who have best intentions in heart, mm-hmm, for us, but they're sometimes a little bit confused about the choices we make and the fact that we can change our mind quickly, or yeah, rather quickly.
Right.
And we had to learn how to say to ourselves, this is our journey and we can do it again on our own terms.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt often, and I would say the last, since 2021, when we decided to leave New York and go on our famous journey, as you like to describe, I felt often like I was defending myself.
Yeah.
Or I was defending us, or I won't even say make excuses, but like justify it. Well, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to make it work. And I've really kind of given up on the idea of justifying it versus making bolder statements.
Yeah.
Instead.
In a way, I find it helpful to make bold statements, and we're doing it for ourselves. I'm doing it for myself. I'm putting this big bold letters in front of me and I'm saying, this is where I'm going. But I do check every day, does it still feel right?
Mm-hmm.
And I may get up in the morning next week and it doesn't feel right anymore.
Yeah.
So guess what? These big bold letters are gone.
Right.
I'm putting them aside, shelving them somewhere, and let's look for what is that next thing.
Yeah. The other piece that I would add, not only defending, but I think that you and I have often, what's been said to us is, oh, you guys are really lucky and you get to do these things, or you've been able to make these choices. And I did brush that off. And again, kind of defend it in a way of like, it's just the two of us. So we have more flexibility. Or I think I took the comments around you're so lucky in a more casual way. But similarly, when I speak about why the subtitle is The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career, when you describe your career as accidental, you don't give it power.
Right.
And if I say that I'm lucky that we do this, that's also not giving power to the decisions that we've made. And so I've kind of stopped saying, actually, it's not luck. I've started to say, it's not luck. It's actually very thoughtful decision-making, planful,
intentional
decisions that we've made to get us here. And that's not always well received.
Right.
Because it's easy to say, oh, this is accidental and laughed, or, oh, you're really lucky and laugh it off. And I think we have to stop, just like when we talk about accidental careers, we have to stop saying that this is an accident. We have to stop saying that this is luck.
Right.
Because now we're several years in,
yeah,
and we have built a company. We have built a lot of momentum. We've built, I think, changed the conversation about some things, and that's not luck. And that comes maybe with, again, age and wisdom, but we're very thoughtful about what we're doing, but with the idea that it can always change.
I agree that we put a lot of intention behind things. For me, it's associated with a free mind, a mind that has less boundaries than it had before. I've been stuck in that loop also of, you know, working really hard, working in offices where you have to get to the office at 7 a.m. and leave at, I don't know, 12 o'clock at night. But when I left that, I allowed myself to think differently. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes associate it with money. They associate it, oh, you have enough money, you can do that. Actually, no. We think every day, we wake up every day thinking, how are we going to make it to the next step? Mm-hmm. What steps do we have to take to make it? And I have a lot of sleepless nights around, is this the right path for us? It's not. Is it not the right path for us? It's re-examining that path over and over, and it's never certain.
Right.
But I know that we're good at walking through this path, carrying our little cart behind us, and as we step on the ground, leveling the ground, and leaving no stone unturned. We are celebrating a lot of the successes. We are celebrating the good moments, but we're not afraid of picking up that stone that sits heavy on ourselves, that sits heavy on our shoulders, and looking at it and staring at it, and understanding why is it there? Why did it come to our door?
Yeah,
in a way. Do you feel that we're doing that a lot?
I do. And you're right. Some of that is money related. I think that's natural. But the coconuts or stones or whatever reference you want to use are powerful to think about. Does it have to be this way? Can it be something different? Can we use the obstacle for something positive?
Yeah.
Can we use the obstacle? Can we break down the obstacle in ways? Can we think differently about something? And maybe that's also this idea of being programmed to think about things in certain ways or follow certain paths or do things in a traditional way that don't always apply to every situation.
Right. Can you think of an example of something that we look at that is challenging for both of us and share about it?
Yes, I can think of one, you know, and it's really around how we manage and replenish our energy. And so when you think about introverts versus extroverts and where we like to spend our time, you know, I don't diagnose myself as an extrovert, but all the surveys that I've done would say you're a functional extrovert, meaning you're really an extrovert at work, and you are, which is very true, very outgoing, very engaging. I could speak to people all day long. But what I don't want to do when I get home is speak to more people. So it's not that, oh, I get home from work and then I want to go out and do more. I actually need to replenish my energy through being quiet and through being home. And you don't love the big like social environments. And so the obstacle is we don't always do everything together.
Right.
That I do have some separate friends. I go to different events. I'll say, hey, I have this dinner tonight. You're welcome to come, but if not, that's fine too.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is like, well, you don't see, I'll hear that. Oh, we'd love to meet your husband. I'm like, yeah, you probably won't, but that's okay. You know, and so, so it's recognizing that and knowing that how do you manage your energy that's right for you. I also remember being on the road and we were really isolated sometimes. It was just the two of us.
Yeah.
And I said to you, if I don't see some other people, if I don't get to a mall, I'm really going to struggle here. Yeah. it's understanding where each other is coming from, recognizing it, speaking it, and then accept it.
Right. I think that after 10 years of being together, you think that you would know one another. And I think we know one another pretty well. But I'm still surprised that I'm looking at you from the side and I'm like, oh my God, I'm seeing something that I haven't seen before. I'm seeing a new aspect of Ron and this rediscovery of someone that you've apparently known for such a long time is surprising me every time. But as I discover it, I'm not shutting it down. I'm not attributing it to a bad thing. I'm just observing it. I'm looking at it. Yeah. And I'm saying, I'm learning another aspect right now about this person who I know very well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice these moments that we are recognizing something new in one another?
I do. I also think that part of just growth individually and as a couple requires a sense of discovery and a sense of curiosity. And so sometimes the change comes from a new person that you meet or a book that you've read or something about it changes the way you think about things. And then that rediscovery happens. But I do have natural fear of being older and being set in my ways. And this is what I like. This is what I don't like. And it's very black and white. I come from a family that thinks that way. This is just how it is.
Right.
And I'm not really up for discussing it. And I do have fear that I will fall into that same bucket. So maybe what you're describing about me is a constant sense of curiosity to not be the same person all the time, to be highly curious.
I also think in a relationship where you're being seen for a new discovery and not being judged for it or penalized for it or questioned for it, allows you to say, oh, this exploration is actually good because I'm allowing myself to grow.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be that same person that I was.
Yeah.
I don't have to follow the same footsteps that I've done over and over again because this is my path. I can actually take a new path. And the person that is with me is not going to leave me behind or not going to run ahead of me. He's going to give me the moment to explore that little, you know, new found area yeah. that I discovered within myself.
Yeah.
I have certainly discovered new things about myself in the past few years. After working for decades in a small office with 5 people, not being the most friendly person in the world, I went to work for Apple, for example. And at Apple, I discovered a new person.
Yeah, that's true.
I discovered that I love working with people. And I'm often very, you know, I'm still who I am. I'm often short. I'm often straight to the point. But I love the interactions and mm-hmm. I love being around people. That was a whole new aspect of myself that I completely forgot.
Yeah.
And being here, doing this podcast, talking to the microphone, mm-hmm. I actually like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I often mask it with other things. And I try to dig deep to find the right words to share my story.
Mm-hmm.
It often comes still with a struggle. I hope to get better with it. But you give me a lot of room to do that. You give me a lot of space to explore that and understand what works for me. And something that you do that I need to get better in is you jump on the wagon and says, I'm going to do it with you. Let's see how is it together. And I wish I could do that for you more often.
But you do it in your own way. And whether that is making dinner, whether that is making sure that we have all the like resources and everything that we need, you do it in your own way.
Yeah.
So it's not one for one. That's not what relationships are.
Yeah.
Every day. Thank you for sharing yourself today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing yourself today. We will talk again next week.
Talk again soon.
After jumping.
After we get done riding the roller coasters at Disney World.
Let's have a great week ahead.
Thank you.
I let go a long time ago of the idea that actions speak louder than words. Whenever I set a goal for myself, I first describe it with intention. I make it grand and colorful. I embellish it with stories about who I am and where I will be when I get there. Words are the first thing that trickles into my mind when I wake up. They have a way of shifting from one energy state to another. They come as thoughts and ideas, then become spoken words, and in turn become actions. I use words to describe how I feel or to tell the ones I love that I see them. I see their happiness and I see their struggle. When you do that with compassion, it allows them to discover themselves from the outside and open their minds to new possibilities. Our words can also cast a safety net for those who go in the self-searching quest, knowing that someone they love is waiting to catch them if they fall. Our relationship is thriving, not because it is perfect, but because we describe clearly what we feel, what we see, and what we want. We know that as long as we express these three things to one another, nothing can stand in our way. Whether you have a loud, clear, beautiful voice, or you're still searching for one, I want to ask you one thing today. Bet on yourself. Bet on yourself that you are capable and adaptable, and that you deserve any change that you need in your life. If you're inspired, reach out to us, and maybe we can drop some coconuts together. Who knows? If you share this podcast with someone you love, we won't be mad at you at all, and we're grateful that you took a moment to join us. Until the next time, drop some coconuts in 3, 2, 1.